You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to this episode of the Daily Vet Life podcast, where we chat with equine veterinarians about the cases they've worked on in their clinics. I'm your host, Alex Beckstedt, editorial director of Equimanagement, and today I'm speaking with Dr. Rachel Buchholz about a suspected navicular case that ended up having a few curveballs. This episode of the Daily Vet Life podcast is brought to you by DECRA. Dr. Rachel Buchholz is a senior associate veterinarian at Northwest Equine Performance in Molino, Oregon. Originally from Howell, Michigan, she attended Michigan State University, receiving both her bachelor's in animal science and her doctorate of veterinary medicine. During her time at MSU, she worked under Dr. Hillary Clayton and Dr. Narelle Stubbs, studying equine spinal anatomy, pathologies, and therapies. Following veterinary school, she moved west and has been with Northwest Equine Performance ever since. Dr. Rachel splits her time between clinic cases and farm calls and regional horse shows. She travels throughout Oregon, Washington, and California seeing horses, and she runs Northwest Equine Performance's advanced imaging, both bone scan and standing MRI, providing diagnostic imaging support, treatment, and rehabilitation advice for clients and referring veterinarians. Dr. Rachel's professional interests include equine physiotherapy, regenerative medicine, advanced diagnostic imaging, and Western performance horse issues. Thank you, Dr. Rachel, for joining us today.
Thanks, Alex. I'm excited to be here.
I understand that the case you're going to be sharing with us today is one of many lameness in sports medicine cases you've worked on. Can you give us some background about the horse and how it first presented? Was it one of your patients or a referral case?
So it ended up kind of being like a third opinion case. Owner heard about me from kind of like a friend of a friend at a horse show, contacted me with some of the history and was like, hey, do you think you could help me like work through this? The horse had kind of an ongoing intermittent difficult lameness. So she sent me stuff and we kind of chatted back and forth, and she ended up bringing the horse from California up to the clinic in Oregon to do some advanced imaging and kind of figure out what the heck was going on. So that's kind of how it started. But the history that I got on the horse originally, so it's an 8-year-old paint all around show gelding. And basically what they were dealing with was kind of an ongoing intermittent right front lameness. So it was typically worse on the hard ground, would kind of vary if it was worse going right or going left. I got lots of videos of the horse at various horse shows and different things. Seemed like it would get worse at a horse show, whether that was the harder work or the hard ground was kind of debatable. They had done steroid injections in the coffin joints. They'd done steroid injections in the bursa. The horse had had OSFOS multiple times. And it was a little bit questionable about whether or not it had actually helped because the lameness was so inconsistent. It was, you know, was the lameness just not there now or had the injection helped? Going back and forth, it was a little bit debatable there. The x-rays that I got were a couple months old at the time, and the horse had not great angles. The palmar angles were pretty flat, kind of approaching negative, and had pretty moderate navicular bone change. So with that, you know, my biggest concern was, okay, the horse has had ongoing front end lameness, has not great navicular x-rays. You know, what all do we have going on soft tissue-wise around the navicular bone? So she brought the horse up to me on the exam. When I saw it, he was not terribly lame right front. Like you saw it a little bit, again, worse on hard ground, enough that we blocked it. So we did a PDN. We didn't block the joints due to the horse's behavior. So we did a PDN, and then the horse ended up being 2 out of 5 left front. So then kind of a much more dramatic left front lameness. Worse going to the right than the left, which was a little bit interesting as far as that little switch there. So took a couple repeat x-rays. The navicular bone still didn't look great. Said, okay, you've been dealing with this for long enough. Let's go ahead and go to MRI. The other thing, before I forget, is flexion-wise, to flex the horse distally in both front, the horse was quite sore. I would say like a 3+ out of 5. And again, kind of very similar right front and left front, which was kind of interesting. So we went ahead and did the standing MRI to just figure out what the heck was going on. And it was, yes, the horse had some navicular bone changes. It had navicular bone fluid. It had some distal border changes that we saw on the x-rays. It had a little bit of a lateral deep digital flexor tendon lesion in the left front. But it ended up having moderate to severe collateral ligament injuries in both front.
Oh, wow.
And basically rather large cyst lesions in the coffin bone where that collateral comes down and attaches to the coffin bone. So not really the navicular case that I was thinking it was going to be at all. So it ended up the left front, the medial collateral ligament was much worse. The right front, the lateral collateral ligament was much worse. But both of them had pretty moderate fiber changes in both medial and lateral collateral ligaments and cyst changes at the insertions. So the horse that we had kind of been treating more navicular-y type stuff was not navicular at all, more so collateral ligament. So that was a nice surprise that we were not expecting.
Calling all equine veterinarians. Are you tired of feeling like you're on an island when it comes to caring for your patients? Dechra Veterinary Products is here to bridge that gap. They understand the challenges you face. That's why they offer a comprehensive line of high-quality products like Zycosan and Osfos and empower you to offer your patients cutting-edge therapies like ProVet APC. They're not just a supplier, though. Dechra provides ongoing training and support to help you stay ahead of the curve and deliver the best possible care. Visit www.dechra-us.com to discover how Dechra can be your partner in equine health.
So treatment-wise, then, we're trying to figure out, okay, we need to deal with the collateral ligament. We don't want to forget about that left front DDF. And then we still need to deal with the joints in general. Just I like to kind of, in my mind, if with collateral ligament injuries, if I can keep the joints happy, then maybe I can give the collateral ligaments a little bit of a chance. And given how sore the horse was to flexion, to me, that was pretty clinically significant. So we went ahead and put platelet-rich plasma in both front coffin joints, both front fetlock joints, and then kind of injected regionally into those collateral ligaments as best we could. And then we treated the left front DDF just with shockwave. So that horse went home on kind of a walking rehab program for the next kind of 6 to 8 weeks. Big things were kind of avoiding smaller circles. Don't put the horse on the walker to rehab it, just with those collaterals, not wanting to put any additional stress from those smaller circles and trying to stick with flat, even ground. She was kind of in the hills of California, so that was a little bit of a difficult challenge, but we got there. We also tried some different shoeing changes, tried some different pads and things to see if we could support the horse differently that way. And the horse actually hated any kind of pad we put on, like anything. It would literally walk away just like abscess lame. So I finally ended up actually just pulling the shoes and leaving the horse completely barefoot and just leaving it in its walking program and letting the feet kind of do whatever they were going to do was my basic plan. So then she went back, she did that. The horse actually did pretty well on rehab, which was a nice change of pace. I went down and saw the horse in March. So kind of about 2-ish months after the horse had been at the clinic. And clinically, the horse was sound. It looked good. Again, it had just been walking, so debatable. But the flexions were way, way better. It hardly flexed sore. It wasn't rearing into the air while I was doing the flexion. And it trotted off maybe like a 1 out of 5 on both front. So that was exciting. I went ahead at that point, we put A2M, so the alpha 2 stuff, in both front coffins and both front fetlocks again, trying to kind of stick with that. If I can keep the coffin joints happy, can I get by on my collateral situation? So we went ahead and did that, kept the horse in a walking program for another 2 months, and then the kind of towards the end of May, the horse had a recheck MRI down at a clinic in California. On that clinical, the horse was maybe a little bit off left front, but pretty darn subtle. And again, the flexions were still pretty darn good, according to the owner and the vet down there. So that recheck MRI showed the coffin collateral ligaments were stable and the left front DDF looked much better. So as far as collateral ligaments on the MRI, especially when you have that cyst change, you're going almost for stable. Like, stable is good. Very rarely are the ligaments going to look dramatically better in that amount of time. The biggest question is, are those cyst kind of bone changes going to get worse? And is that hole going to get bigger? And are we kind of catching it in the middle of that cycle and it's just going to keep going? Or are we at the end and this is what we have? So for that horse with the recheck MRI, it kind of seemed like we were at the end and this is what we had, which was great. We can work with that. So at that point, they went ahead and re-injected. We had a little bit more A2M, so we did that again in both front coffins, both front fetlocks. She brought the horse back a little bit. We added in some workload. We kind of just went back and forth with videos and different things that way as far as recheck stuff went, just because of the distance. She was down in California, so it's a little bit hard to just pop over and see the horse. So the last recheck was in August. The horse was trotting, doing some canter work. So kind of back in a little bit flat work-ish, but not kind of his full show work. So at that recheck, the horse was sound, maybe a teensy tiny bit right front on the hard ground, but it was also still barefoot. So we were like, okay, that's an acceptable change. I did block the right front again with just a PD to see if I did that, was it going to switch dramatically to the left front like it had before? It did not. The horse was sound, looked great. Flexions were maybe like a 1+ out of 5, like maybe a little bit more than it had been, but not too bad. At this point, we kind of had what we had as far as the collateral ligaments go. Can we get that horse back into some more flat work? Is it going to hold up or not? So far, it had done pretty darn well. So if we kind of kept that path, could we do that? And we were still barefoot. So maybe can we get some shoes on and see if that's going to help the situation? So that was kind of the back and forth. You know, do we do that? Do we give the horse more time and kind of see? And I kind of told her, again, with the collateral ligament stuff, this is probably about what we have. So let's just ease in and see how we go. So we got just standard normal shoes, no pads, nothing fancy on the horse. And he seemed to like those. So we went with that. She eased him back into kind of a full work program and he stayed pretty sound. So we were pretty darn happy with that. The horse now, we do intermittent eye wrap injections again to kind of help with that joint inflammation. But so far, so good.
And how long has it been since that horse has been pretty stable and
so that was the end of 2023.
Okay. So you've been just periodic rechecks management since then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he had one setback. She moved and changed farriers and the other farrier wasn't as on top of the angle situation. So his left front actually kind of got a little bit negative and he became a little bit lame there. But again, wasn't flexion sore, was kind of a little bit of a different clinical than it had been before. That blocked to the foot. As soon as he got his angles and things back to what they typically were, he was back to being sound.
Oh, that's great. Are there any other management strategies that you're recommending as he continues to prevent re-injury maybe?
Yeah, so it's a little bit hard. You know, re-injury is one of those, well, like it's, I'm sure if we were to put him in the magnet again, like we would still see moderate coffin collateral change.
Right.
So for me, it was really like as much as we could stay on top of those flexions and his kind of clinical response that way, the better off we were. So like if we would flex him and he flexed great, fine. We'll leave those joints alone and just kind of keep going about our way if he's been sound. If he's sound, but we flex him and we're starting to get a little bit more, then we were kind of hedging our bets and really staying on top of treating those joints with something anti-inflammatory just to keep it happy before in my mind, if that joint is sore, then the horse is kind of moving a little bit differently and maybe stressing those collateral ligaments a little bit more than we want. So as much as we could stay on top of the joint stuff seemed to be the best option for him.
Right. Okay. So going back to the initial assumption that this might be a navicular case,
yeah.
Does the cuff and collateral ligament injury get mistaken for navicular often, or was that just kind of a coincidence?
Not often necessarily. It was kind of a, you know, when you're looking at the like quarter horse paint, Appaloosa types, navicular bone injury things are a very common problem.
Right.
So it's not a, you know, especially being worse inside of the circle, hard ground, history of coffin and bursa injections, OSVOS, all of those things kind of go along that navicular path. So it was kind of the most likely option. Collateral ligaments can do weird things. They can, it can be inside of the circle. It can be outside of the circle. There can be joint inflammation. There cannot be joint inflammation. And some of that just depends on where the soft tissue injury is worse, whether it's way deep down at the insertion on the coffin bone, or is it up a little bit higher, kind of more between the coffin and the pastern. So at that coffin joint level where it has the potential to cause some more coffin joint instability a little bit.
Right.
So some of that just kind of depends. But it was, I think everyone was just expecting it to be navicular bone and had treated it like navicular issues. You looked at the x-rays and you were like, yes, those are not pretty navicular bones at all. And then we put the horse in the MRI and it was like, hold my beer. It has collateral ligament injuries instead. So it's kind of one of those like good lessons of even when you think you know what's going on, horses are humbling and the imaging will answer the question. So having that, we treated the horse differently as far as knowing what was actually going on. And that helped tremendously.
Well, horses are indeed very humbling.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Well, do you have any other key takeaways for veterinarians and clients that might be managing similar cases?
I think the biggest one is, you know, even when we really think we know what's going on, if we have kind of further questions, like sometimes advanced imaging and MRI and things like that can be super helpful. I know sometimes clients will balk at the initial cost of an MRI and things like that, and that can be a bit of a struggle. But for me, the education behind it, like, okay, you've spent time treating things, giving it time off, giving it OSVOS, you know, injecting this, that, and the other thing. And sometimes if you don't actually have an answer, you can be spending as much money, if not more, than the MRI would have been. So sometimes it's almost easier, almost always, it's easier to just start off and actually like get the diagnosis so you know what you're treating versus kind of that, like, I'm pretty sure, but I'm not all the way sure, know what you're treating thing.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Dr. Rachel, for joining us today and sharing this case with us.
Yeah, it was fun.
And to our listeners, thanks for tuning in. And thanks to our sponsor, Decra.